Starting recording. Recording is started. Audio will be with me shortly. Are you listening?
Okay,
here we go.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome family life. You know, we are going to talk about something that strikes fear into the hearts of homeschool mothers all over. We're going to be talking about homeschooling high school. Cue the ominous music. You know, I remember when we got started homeschooling, we were thinking about it and, you know, kind of, okay, what are we going to do first? And high school was this nebulous thing out on the horizon. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't entirely sure if we would be homeschooling for high school.
Oh, I planned to.
I planned to,
but, you know, when we got there, and I wasn't that worried about it. I had a really good education, had a lot of experience. I wasn't worried about it until I got there.
Mm-hmm.
But when our
older... Now, see, by that time, I'm feeling cocky. I thought, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. Of course we're going to.
But when our oldest son got to be about 14, and it was time to start high school, I panicked. Well, I don't really know what I'm doing. How am I going to get ready? And I think that's a normal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I think because high school, well, we all know from our own experience, how you do in high school makes a big difference for the rest of your life.
Well, those are really important. I mean, not just the foundation it lays for college or job prospects or whatever, but, you know, that's a time of change. That's a time of a lot of emotional growth, a lot of things going on that are, you know, that I mean, we look back at high school, I think most of us with some mixed emotions. You know, we think about the teachers that were special and the courses that we enjoyed, and then we think about the courses that we really struggled with and some of the social things.
The queen bees and the cliques and wondering if anyone would ever like you.
The jocks and the nerds and the goths and the weird kids and, you know, and so I think...
And the abject terror of applying to college.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we look at that and say, okay, now I'm the grown-up and I'm running this home school and I've got to be the algebra teacher, and I've got to arrange for elementary French, and I've got to be the guidance counselor at the end of it, and I don't know if I'm up to it.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is. So,
but it's not scary enough to make us do something different, to make us put our kids in a Christian school or in a private school. It's not that scary because, really, the rewards of keeping them home
mm-hmm.
are way better than the trouble that it is.
Well, you know, we've said before, and we continue to say, that the reasons that you start homeschooling are often replaced by the reasons that you continue homeschooling. Once you've made that jump, once you've taken that task on and you've experienced the blessings of doing this, a lot of times we say, hey, I wouldn't do anything else. I might have started as a reaction to a bad situation or fear of certain circumstances, but once we got started and got to see the joy that came from being with our kids so much and having that participation, that hands-on parenting experience, you know, well, it's kind of the same thing. You know, when you get to the high school level and you've successfully made it, maybe you've successfully made it through 8 or 9 years of homeschooling before then, maybe it's the opposite way around. I mean, I remember when we were on the board, North Carolinians for Home Education, there was a revolving door at the 8th grade. Do you remember that?
Yeah, a lot of people would say, oh, I can't do high school and send them to school. And other people would say, oh, this has been horrible. We're not doing this any further and bring them home.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of people leaving homeschooling at that point and a lot of new people coming in.
There are a lot of great reasons to homeschool high school. I think probably the biggest one is the effects that it will have on your relationship with your teens and your ability to disciple them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think about how our boys, when they went away to college, you know, they said, I wanted them going to the Christian group on campus, which was Christians, and saying, you know what, the only people out of these hundreds of kids that claim the name of Christ that aren't more afraid of their peers than they are of Jesus Christ are the kids that were homeschooled.
The ones that are used to being a little different already.
The ones who have been taught to stand alone and who aren't so peer-driven. You know, that I think a tremendous amount of discipleship happens between 14 and 18.
Right, it does.
And for us, it's been fantastic to have our children home during that time when we can prepare them for life, when they're asking questions about, you know, finding a mate, about a career move, about, you know, if this faith is real and something they can follow the rest of their lives. I want to be there.
That's a key point for us, you know, that the real blessing, the benefit of homeschooling is not the academic opportunities. It's not, you know, the protecting them from the bad kids in the local consolidated high school, but it's the opportunity to disciple your kids, to regain 35, 40, 45 hours a week of their time and their attention so that when those questions come up, you are the adult that's there to answer.
And it's really, it's a tremendous time of transition from childhood to adulthood. And just the teaching opportunities are endless.
Right.
So many things we discuss with our children. By the way, we've graduated three of our sons from our homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two still in high school and three younger than that. So we've had some experience. We've been there before.
Yeah, and I've got to say the ones that have graduated and gone on, they've all gone to college.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact they were homeschooled was absolutely not an issue, not a problem, anything. It was a feature.
I think it was a feature. All three of them received multiple scholarship offers to college.
And so, you know, the homeschooling in high school is something that you can do. It is a successful method. You know, it's like anything. You may do it better or not as good, or you might have your own particular challenges at different times. But the concept is good, and it's not something that we need to shy away from like a source, you know, to say, hey, this can be done. How am I going to do it? And you said, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
All right, you mentioned that we've graduated three. Mm-hmm. We've got two right now in the high school years. Have we had three in high school at one time?
I don't think we've only had two at a time
in high school. Okay. But, you know.
You know what interests me, Hal?
What?
Is the number one concern I hear. There's two major concerns I hear about homeschooling high school.
What?
The first is people are in panic about transcripts and report cards. Great. And what cracks me up about that is that's really the easiest part of homeschooling high school.
That's pretty straightforward.
In fact, you can put together a transcript in a couple of hours.
If you kept your records.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No discussion.
And yet people panic over the record keeping, I think because we know that it's going to be judged by people who can have a pretty big influence on kids' lives.
And people who don't understand us. You know, if we say, we want everybody to love you as much as we do, you know, and so that's one of the things we're always concerned about. But, that's a problem. There's so much of that I don't want to say it's cookie cutter, but really, truly, there's sort of standard formats for doing that. It's kind of formulaic. It's not something that is magical. It doesn't require advanced writing skills.
But you just kind of have to know how to do it. And
uh-huh.
And you can get that knowledge free. In fact, we're going to provide a way for people to get that knowledge free.
Yes.
In just a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Actually, it's not even a couple of weeks, is it? It's next week. It's not this Thursday.
Not this Thursday coming
but
up.
Next Thursday.
The 28th.
We are having a free webinar with us and Lee Benz, the home scholar.
Oh, yes.
And she's an expert on high school record keeping and transcripts for homeschoolers. And she's going to be doing a whole webinar teaching you how to put together transcripts, how to do your record keeping, and it's going to be free. And so if record keeping is one of the things that's worrying you, then head over and register for this. You can do it on our website at raisingrealmen.com/BINZ, B-I-N-Z.
Right.
And you can head over there. register. Now, if you can't make it live, we're going to offer you the recording.
Yeah, because this is going to be good information. And so, yeah, we really want to encourage you. If you've got students who are in high school or you plan to have students in high school, you're going to want to hear this.
So, and it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. So it's
better. We're not going to belabor transcripts and record keeping tonight, since we're going to be discussing that at this webinar in just a week and a half. But I would like to talk about the other question I hear a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Is, I can't teach algebra, or I can't teach history, or I can't teach English, or whatever their own personal bugaboo in high school was.
Yes.
And I think that's false.
I think it's overrated.
Well, for one thing, when you get to high school, teaching high school.
Yes.
You are a different person than you were when you were in high school.
Yeah.
You know, you bring an adult's mind to it. You're not distracted by whether you've got on the right shoes or whether you're wearing the right color lip gloss or what the girl or guy across the room thinks about you.
That's true. By this time, you probably have already got the girl or by the guy.
Or why in the world are you homeschooling high school? Yeah.
That's true. Most of us have settled that question.
But what do you do? Well, first of all, it's going to be easier this time. It's like algebra.
Okay.
By the time you start doing pre-algebra, you will have taught 8th grade math, 7th grade math, 6th grade math, 1st grade,
you've
repeated the whole math curriculum, often several times if you have several children.
And a lot of times, if you're teaching a subject, you end up learning it better than the student does.
Oh, and it's going to be so much easier this time around.
You know what? I found it's fun.
It really is.
You know, I did, confession time. I took AP English when I was in high school, and I did very well, and I got college credit for it and all the rest of that. But you know what? I learned how to talk like somebody who appreciated literature, but I didn't really. And it wasn't until much later, and when we were first teaching our first high school student, that I realized, that's what Mrs. B was trying to get across to us. Now I get it. And I started reading things for the first time that I had skipped over when I was, taking the course. And it's been great. I mean, it revolutionized my thinking in a lot of ways.
Same here. That was my experience, too. It was so much easier and so much more enjoyable and so much more fun this time around.
Mm.
And so that's one option. Another option is to get help.
True.
You know, you can join a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
You can trade tutoring with other parents, like my degree's in the sciences. I don't have any problem tutoring sciences.
Yep.
Another mom might have majored in English, but she's worried to death about biology.
Well, it's like we have people in our local support group who are trained music educators. So they teach our children how to play musical instruments. I know how to play some musical instruments, but I'm not much good as a teacher. And, so our friends, the Steinekers, lead our homeschool band, and they teach our kids that. And we can do things like, I'm an engineer. I can tutor math and algebra and calculus.
Trade with other couples. You can do formal classes. A lot of times classes for homeschoolers in a local area or online classes. Like we've used Apology Academy, Pennsylvania Homeschoolers, Living the Answer,
David
Vogel.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We've used a bunch of these different online courses and had a really good – Patrick Henry Academy had a really good experience.
Yeah,
our children have learned a lot through that. And so that's been useful. Also, you can do AP and advanced classes at home.
And I would like to talk about that at some length, but I think we're coming up on time for a station break. Can we take a short minute here and then jump into the question of advanced placement?
Okay, but you know what?
What?
I think for our station break, we need to tell them what resources we have available for homeschooling high school.
Well, that's a good idea.
Okay, first.
Just like Paul Harvey, we'll just roll right into a commercial. You don't know if this is a story.
Okay, first and foremost, a week and a half, Thursday the 28th, we are doing a webinar with Lee Benz, the Home Scholar, and it's going to be about getting homeschooling high school, record keeping, transcripts, all that. Please join us.
Yeah, if you've never done a webinar, it's real simple. All you need is a good internet connection and a pair of headphones, and you just log into that website and plug in, and you can listen, you can chat with the instructor and with the other people in the class.
The slides
it's
are
a lot of
fun.
It's like an online meeting.
Go to raisingwillmen.com/bins, B-I-N-Z.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, also, we have two workshop downloads available.
Okay.
And they're called, one is called Homeschooling High School.
Well, that's easy enough.
Getting It Done and Getting It Down.
Right.
And Aiming for College, and that's all about the college application process.
Yes, yeah, so you deal with the maze of admissions and the ever-important financial aid questions. How do you apply for scholarships, and how do you maximize your attractiveness to a scholarship committee?
And they're available for a very small fee at raisingwillmen.com/CDs/homeschooling.
Okay.
And also...
And there's more?
Yeah, there's more. We have a webinar series called Pre-Flight that's what you need to know for homeschooling high school, for shepherding your children through that phase, through helping them in the transition to adulthood. RaisingWillmen.com/pre-flight. Okay, I'm done. Let's go back to the talk.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, if you're just joining us, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we're talking about homeschooling high school as part of making biblical family life practical. Now,
I kind of got ahead of myself.
Yes?
We're talking about what if you don't know how to teach a class. We talked about co-ops, exchanging tutoring, local classes, online classes. We also need to mention dual enrollment. In a lot of places, you can send your child to the community college free to take courses that will count for both high school and college credit.
Now, there's some caveats with that.
Well, the caveat is they better be ready for college, because your high school transcript, once you go to college, nobody cares about it anymore.
That's right.
But your college transcripts follow you forever.
Yeah.
You also want to make sure that they can handle the peer interaction, because often the peer group they're exposed to, there's a very wide range of ages, abilities, backgrounds. So just make sure they're peer ready.
You know what? I how many people we have heard say, well, I don't feel secure sending my impressionable young student off to the big liberal secular state university, so I'll just send them to the local community, and that way they'll avoid all the pressure in the dormitories.
Well, actually, you know, the university sometimes has a better peer culture because it's mostly kids the same age as your child, and with the same kind of goals in life, and it's not as quite a wide a range as the community college. So make sure they're able to handle the peers.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, if you have a child who's scholarship material, then you've got to make sure they don't get as much as a full year of credit, or they'll be considered transfer students and there aren't scholarships for them.
That becomes too much of a good thing. And we've actually had a friend who discovered that, surprisingly.
Yeah.
So they're,
and so there's some things about that dual enrollment, but that's an option too. So there's a lot of options if you don't feel secure. Now, what if you have a child who's really advanced? They can take AP classes online or in local classes. Or you can teach AP classes yourself at home. I've done it.
And you know what? I think we probably ought to do a separate show on that, because that's a whole long discussion. And some things that are easy and straightforward to do, but you got to know the rules to make it happen right.
Now, before we head out today, I want to make sure that we talk about getting it done. Because
how do you mean?
Like actually getting the schoolwork done.
Okay.
If you still have boys and girls in middle school, you need to work really hard on maintaining their love of learning, especially for boys, because boys often decide when they're in middle school, hey, academics aren't for me, I'm no good at this. But boys come into their own academically in high school, and if they aren't even trying at that point, that's really sad, because they really just tend to zoom academically in high school.
Okay.
So maintain their love of learning young. And then when you get to high school, it's time to get them engaged in their own lives.
This is an important thing. And I know all of our guys get to a certain point where, you know, we had little struggles with their pre-adolescent dreams of what they want to do and such. And, you know, we'll tug back and forth a little bit. But there comes a point in all their lives when they look around and realize, you know what, in a couple of years, I'm going to be a, quote, grown-up, unquote. And this is going to be important, because whatever I don't get now, I may not get at all. It may keep me out of college. It may keep me out of the job I want, or may interfere with getting the mate that I want. And so there comes a time, usually during these few years, where they get that vision and say, oh, this really does have a real life application, doesn't it?
And if your son is slow to get it, it's time to sit down and talk some reality to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get him involved in looking at the family budget and finding out how much it costs to live.
Yep.
You know, get him involved in working, help him to plan for the future. And because when they make it their own, it's a whole different thing, which means you need to sit down, you need to plan the next year with them, figure out what they're going to take.
Yeah.
You also need to engage them in the planning. Like for our for our high schoolers, I don't do the planning what lessons you're going to do every day like I do with the younger children. Instead, I say, okay, this is how much you're expected to do every week. You plan out how you can do it. I don't care if you do all your English on Monday and all your math on Tuesday. I don't care how you plan it. But you're responsible for planning and getting it done.
Okay. Yeah, but you can't just say, okay, here's your book. Come back and see me at the end of the year, and we'll decide what book to get next.
No.
They do need some follow-up and accountability. You know what? We all need some accountability. So, no.
But they might not need the daily, even hourly accountability that they needed so much in the younger years.
Here's your ration of education today. Let me know when you're finished with it.
And I think giving them a little more freedom and a little more say over it raises cooperation on them.
Well, it is their life after all.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing to remember. You know, I was going to say, this is just as a matter of encouragement. Some of these courses that are giving you fits, that you wake up at night in a cold sweat thinking, oh no, I'll never be able to teach geometry. Now, do you ever have dreams like that? Well, you know what? You can learn alongside your student. Now, you can kind of, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek to say you only have to be about 1 week smarter than your student to be a teacher. That's, you know. But you can learn alongside one another, and if it's something that you don't know but it'd be useful to for everyone to know or for your student to know, and you're going to come along and enjoy the experience, then you can be upfront with that. You know, case in point, a few years ago, we were going to start studying Spanish as a family. I just thought that would be a good, useful life skill. And unexpectedly, in January, we got a call from our brother in China. And before it was all done, he'd made arrangements for us to come and visit the whole family to go to China. Well, guess what? We didn't learn Spanish that year. We learned Mandarin. And I guarantee nobody in this house had ever considered Chinese as a language. But here we were. We got, you know what? We found online programs. We found a local tutor to help us with pronunciation. We found classes at a local school. This was interesting. A lot of immigrant families don't teach their native language to their children. They want them to assimilate and get into the American way of thinking. And the kids come back when they're adults and say, look, I want to be able to talk to my grandmother back in Hunan, you know, and I can't understand a word they say. And so, you know, we're sitting in Chinese classes with people from Taiwan and from Hangzhou and other places, you know, that are just saying, hey, I'm a first-generation American, but I want to understand my culture. So the long and the short of it is we all learned basic Chinese. And then it was nothing on foundations that our older children went off to college, and they studied it at the college level. But it was based on the foundation that we had done homeschooling, not knowing the first syllable of that strange language.
Now, I'm going to share, that's a perfect introduction for one of my big tips for the homeschooling high school.
What's that?
Buy the answer books. Buy the answer books.
Oh, it costs money.
It costs a lot of money, and it will save you a lot of hassle. One of our friends owns a homeschool store, and she says she sells very few of the answer books. I thought, you're kidding. She says, no, people have them. But let me tell you something. You do not want to rediscover Algebra 2. If your child comes up and says, Mom, I don't know how to do this problem, you tell you what it did.
Yep.
You say, well, that's very interesting. That's not a hard problem, but let's see how Mr. Saxon did it, how he wants you to do it.
Right.
And open the answer book and show him how to do it from the answer book, and they'll think you're a genius.
Wow.
Buy the answer books.
It's worth it. It's worth it. It'll keep your blood pressure down. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, In subjects that are difficult for you, buy easy-to-use subjects.
In other words, if you are not scientifically minded, I'll put in a shameless plug. We love Apologia Science, and it is almost self-teaching.
Well, I'm scientifically minded. I have a degree in hard sciences,
yep.
But I still love Apologia because I don't have to teach everything. It's self-teaching. It teaches the child.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't have to explain everything. Some other curriculum, sometimes very popular ones among homeschoolers, were written for a classroom. So it assumes that someone teaching high school level chemistry has studied chemistry at college.
And has some sort of certification to be a science educator. You know.
Yeah, and so, get easy-to-use stuff and subjects that worry you.
That's right. And get the ones that look fun to you, because you know what? If it's a difficult course, let's say if you're an English major and you've got an artistic bent, you know, you're not going to have a hard time teaching art history because you like it. You enjoy it. You want to share that with your kids. You want them to get the excitement of it that you have.
You could teach it if all you had was a paper bag and a pencil and the internet.
There you go. But, man, go find the science course that's easy to teach. Go find the math course that's a workbook style that you can, you know, that you can basically give them directions and say, go. And you don't have to drill through it with them because that's just not what the way you think.
So find things that work for your family. Find things that are enjoyable and useful. And let me tell you something. Don't farm out all of your high school education. It can be really tempting to start for dual enrollment and these classes and that co-op, and I don't have to teach any of it. But I would caution you against that because the subjects that they study in high school bring up a lot of deep questions.
And they should.
When you're studying literature, you're going to be discussing the great questions of life, the great challenges of life. When you study history, you're going to be looking at God's dealings with men.
Right.
When you study science, that brings up a whole huge number of questions about the nature of God and creation.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, you want to have those conversations with your children at a high school level. I know you had a lot of those conversations.
Right.
When they were 10, but you can't discuss death and love and God in the same way that you can when they're 16.
Their mind and thoughts and emotions are very different at 15 than they were at 8.
Yes.
Okay. They've got a whole different perspective, things they've never seen before. And so, you know what? It comes back to that big D word, is the discipleship. Because a lot of us, especially if you're an adult convert, a lot of times we look at the struggles we had growing up and think, well, it's because I didn't know the Lord. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. My parents weren't raising me in a Christian environment. But we fixed all that, and so it's all going to be different for my kids. Well, you know what? Some of those things, those questions and challenges and doubts and concerns come up because they're human.
Yes.
And they grow up in a fallen world.
Right.
And it's not because, you know, they are or are not in a Christian family. And so having them there under your teaching – so that you are the one there to answer the question when they come out and say, well, you know, how do we understand the problem of evil in the world? I mean, what is the real purpose of life? And, you know, those questions that literature explores, you can talk about it right then.
Oh,
because they will have the questions, they will come up, and who's going to be there to answer?
So don't farm everything out.
Don't farm it all out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I've got to say that, yeah, I was terrified when we first started homeschooling high school. And then I still have panic attacks sometimes. Oh, no, we've got to do that this year or whatever. But when I look at what our adult sons have become and the relationship we have with them, then I'm so thankful that we did this. Just like this weekend, one of our sons was saying, you know, I wish you'd give me more advice, one of our adult sons.
Oh, win.
Yeah, win.
Swell.
Yeah, that's like winning the parent jackpot.
Yeah.
And having that kind of relationship where our son say, you know, I really value your advice. Can you give me some more advice?
No, we can give you advice, yes.
Yeah,
so that's
wonderful.
You know what, that's a relationship thing. Well, look, we are out of time.
Okay.
But before we go, we do need to tell people, look, we are traveling. We
yes.
are probably going to be traveling are at all interested in having us speak or knowing where we're going to be going,
let us know at raisingrealmen.com/interest. And
or,
you can let us know, or you can download our speaker packet.
That's at howandmelanie.com/speaking.
Oh, and you're right. It's not raisingrealmen.com/interest. It's howandmelanie.com/interest.
That's right.
And so head over there.
Yes.
Take a look at our speaker packet. We would love to come to your area. Please let us know. We're going to be all over the place.
I'll tell you what, we have been to, I think I counted 46 states
Wow.
with this ministry and 3 Canadian provinces. Okay, so there's likelihood we're going to be within driving distance somewhere. And you know what? Your email may be the thing that makes it happen. So.
And don't forget to sign up for our free webinar with Lee Benz, the home scholar, at RaisingWillMen.com/Benz, B-I-N-Z. See you there, the 28th.
Okay, that's good. So look, we want to thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical, and we appreciate your listening and being a part of this community. So I look forward to talking with you again sometime
soon. You've been listening to Making...
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.